This is the True Faith Matchday podcast. I'm Norman Riley, heading to Stamford Bridge to watch Newcastle United at least get a draw in the FA Cup against Chelsea. Just leaving Lewisham now, so on the way to the pub to meet Charlotte for a couple of pre-match drinks to get the optimism levels up to absolute maximum. Woke up this morning still feeling positive. Obviously, we've got to wait to see what the lineups are. Hoping that Rafa will go with a strong side. I'm pretty sure that he will, as I'm certain Chelsea will as well, especially after having lost in the League Cup semi-final against Arsenal the other night. Cracking day, really, for the match. Not too cold. Blue skies up above. Everything's set for a good day out. And, let's just see what Gans. How are the lads? So, I've arrived at the Feathers pub in the aptly fucking named St. James's Park in West London. Obviously, my favourite dystopian nightmare. although I will say the station itself is underneath a beautiful Art Deco building, so the area's going up my estimations as we go on. We've just had our first pint. Optimism levels are probably creeping towards DEFCON 3 right now. Utterly convinced we're not going to lose today. I don't know how you feel about it, Charlotte.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to lose. I really, really don't. I always feel like we pull it out of the bag in these sorts of things, like the FA Cups, like these sorts of like off Premier League games. I always feel like we're going to win. Right. Like, just think we are.
We've got the greatest cup manager in the world. Like, I'm not even going to look at facts. I'm going to base this. This is my opinion, 100%. But it's right. My opinion's right. Rafa's the best. He's the best cup manager in the world, and we're going to get a result, and we're going to turn them back to St. James's Park, and it'll be brilliant, and we'll speak to you when the lineup's announced. So we've just seen the Newcastle United lineup. It's a strong team in the sense that these are squad players. Mbemba and Haidara, I mean, Haidara, you could definitely argue, isn't in Rafa's plans, same as Saivé. But I'm happy to see him in due to his excellent performance against West Ham. Also, Mbemba come back in is an interesting one. It looks to me like we're playing a kind of 3-5-1-1 formation, and possibly Richie in the number 10 role. It'll be obvious as soon as we kick off what the positions are, but that definitely is a Clark, Lascelles and Mbemba, that's a three centre-half pair, and possibly Mbemba playing the same role that Hayden played against Man City, kind of shifting between the centre-half and defensive midfield. It's a decent lineup. I'm really interested to see how Saivé is going to do today. Yeah. And also, if Haidara is playing in that wing-back role, he does have pace, so you know what? There's no reason to feel negative. I'm still very much convinced that we'll get a 0-0 draw, and that's not just because I've had, like, 2.5 pints. Charlotte, how are you feeling about this?
Yeah, same. I'm pleased to see Saivé on the team. I haven't seen him for a while, not even on the bench, so that's quite nice. Richie, Gale, decent. What have we got? Sal, Clark. Yeah, I haven't seen Haidara on for ages, so please see what he's like.
Yeah.
We haven't got the subs on here, but they're not on the screen. No. But yeah, I think it looks like a strong team. I'm going to go for a 1-0.
I'm loving this. I mean, that's probably the Peroni the Peroni talking. But still, you know what? Let's see. One's each.
Like,
is here 1-0.
1-0. I'm interested to see how he's going to, what his temperament will be like that today. So
I'm interested in seeing how Shelby, Saivé and Hayden will work together. I think there's a lot of potential there, because you've got Saivé and Hayden, who are going to do a lot of running, they're going to cover a lot of ground, and that might sort of free up the space for Shelby to play as a luxury player. And Gale starting up front as well, he had a great start against Chelsea in the last match. Let's just see how it goes. Put it this way, not looking at this lineup and thinking, we're bollocksed. You know, I'm genuinely thinking this is all right, and always good to see Jamal on the side. You know that the back four are going to perform
him.
With him, and I do. So next. Let's see what guns. So we're coming back, you know, we've just looked at the Chelsea side. Obviously, I mean, that is a very, very strong side. You look at that squad.
Alonso.
I mean, you look at that first 11 for a start. There's no one in there that he wouldn't play in the Premiership without even thinking about it. And you look at the bench. It's a very strong bench. Possibly, I haven't heard of Hudson-Odoi. and Amnur Avantadou, but I mean, that's irrelevant really when you've got Moses, Fabregas and Bartley on the bench. But you know what? I think Christensen, Cahill are definitely there to be got at, as a Zappa Costa. I think Drinkwater is, I mean, it's just incredible that they paid so much for him.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what? Why not? And Caballero, you know, Rafa tried to sign him, and I believe in Rafa 100%, but today I just feel like Caballero is going to be, he's going to be a little bit inconsistent, and he's going to make a mistake, and we're going to punish him for it. So let's see. How are you feeling?
Yeah, fine. I mean, my focus is on the Newcastle side. I look at this, I see Alonso, I see the big names, and it does look like a good side, but we've checked the subs as well. I think Mayfield got a good run around. I'm excited for that. So I still think we're going to put up a good fight.
There you go. We're going to put up a good fight and we're not going to lose. So we're just heading up to the stadium now. It's a glorious day for football.
Beautiful.
Beautiful day. We've obviously seen like the half and half scarves on sale. Both tempted to get one.
Yeah. I wasn't.
Both tempted to get one. I was going to buy two half and half scarves, cut one half off and stitch it to the half of another one to make a full scarf. But that didn't come off, and I would say there's a pleasant atmosphere at the moment.
Yeah, it's nice, yeah. Really? And it would be, it's West London.
It's West London, so it's really lovely, and it's not too dystopian right now. Alright, we'll see how it goes. Just got in the stadium, decent atmosphere. Obviously, Blur's Park Life is blaring, so you can't really hear the crowd. Positive atmosphere. Stamford Bridge, I mean, what can you say? I think there's a luxurious hotel attached to it. It's a little bit sickening, a little bit commercial, but fuck that. We'll ignore the corporate aspect of it. We'll just get stuck in the football today, and we'll get the result we need.
We're Geordies, blue boys. We are men top, we are man. We are the loyalists. Football supporters, the world has ever. We are the Geordies. We're Geordie blue boys.
Just about to kick off, you've got that disgusting fucking Chelsea song going on. But it'll stop in a second, because if it doesn't, then obviously I'll probably automatically lose ability here. Here we go. Away!
Rafael Benitez! Rafael Benitez!
Decent first, like decent opening in 9 minutes. Good positive start. They haven't caused too many trouble. Getting a lot of space on the right hand side. Shelby and Richie looking really up for it. Aye, positive. 15th minute, formations in a minute working really well. We're not giving them much in the way of space. There seems to be a load of space on their left and right hand side. Ty Dar and Mankiw are getting plenty of time on the ball. So far, so good. Amazingly, Chelsea look a little bit nervous at the back every time we kind of put any kind of pressure on. There is a slight bit of panic, which is weird given how good they're defensively normally. But I think in a minute they know that overwhelming favourites to win this, and obviously they had the pressure on them because of the defeat the other night in the League Cup. So at the minute, I'd say it's playing in the war hands every time you break. We'll see how it pans out. Brilliant. 29 minutes in, we're really limited at the moment. They're not threatening when they're going forward. They've got like a real issue kind of creating anything. The boat sort of 18 yards out, there's no cutting edge. Dead happy to see them kind of ping the ball around the 35 yard mark, because that final through ball is really lacking. Obviously, for any 29 minutes in, so that will inevitably change at some point. But right now, it's a case of the job being done. Chelsea goal, literally from anywhere. I mean, obviously the angle I'm at right now, the space just opened up, and in the through ball, I mean, it was kind of a case of pick your spot. Dead unfortunate, dead undeserved, and obviously the Chelsea stadium's just erupted for, you know, the 5 seconds that it'll erupt for, because it's a truly pathetic atmosphere right now. just a bad goal to concede. The fans are back inside though, so let's see what comes, eh? 37 minutes, looks like High Doris just put a brilliant tackle in the centre of the pitch and the ref's given a free kick. Be interesting to see this back after the match, because from this angle it looked like a really clean tackle. Just interesting to see what the interpretation's like when you see it on camera as opposed to live at the stadium. Chelsea have just scored a second goal, literally no idea how the fuck that went in. I mean, that was to take the pitch. Saivia was given the ball with about three Chelsea players running him. I don't think you can really blame him for that. Looking at where I'm looking at it from, he had no space at all to play anything out. He was attacked straight away, lost it. The space again opened up massively. And it looks like from here, Darlow made a really good save, and either the ball's looped in or someone just hasn't followed through. I mean, we all thought it was out of the ball. No, he's just put it, no, he's just finished it really well. You can see on the big screen now. Again though, just Hazard on the ball. Oh, just a massive deflection. Absolutely no dollar to deal with that. Again though, it's just that space coming through the middle. Just opened up. We took half time and there's a spare seat next to me and they pretty much won't let anyone from the upper tier go down the lower tier, which is obviously in our slightly paranoid. As if me and Charlotte are going to cause like a major ruckus. But hey, they're the rules, we kind of change them. To be 2-0 during half time is a massive, massive disappointment. Both goals were incredibly avoidable. The Saivia goal, as I just mentioned, it looked to me like he was given the ball in a very confined space, and he didn't have much choice, but obviously getting messages from people saying that he had three terrible touches to allow them to win it. And then they put another ball through where the space just opened up. We couldn't, it's almost like giving Hazard like the run of the pitch, which is terrible. But we have had a couple of half chances. Caballero has made some half decent saves. A goal back before half time would have been ideal. Obviously, the atmosphere has pissed flat. The Chelsea fans are generally pretty pathetic. We're not as vocal as I thought we would be, but then again, you're 2-0 away at the Chelsea now. It's obviously difficult to get massively enthusiastic and passionate about your chances in the second half. But you know what? Who knows? I mean, get a goal early doors and we have had chances, then we'll have a game again. Failing that, obviously, it's going to be tough for the next 45 minutes. Alright, we'll see what pans out. So Charlotte's managed to get onto this level somehow. I don't know how she's managed that, but she has. She's already here, apparently. Obviously, my logistical skills are lacking, but Charlotte, your thoughts half time? Go on the first half. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, we just said. I think we've been really unlucky. I think Shelby's playing really well. I think he's pushing. I think he's obviously like we sort of went for a bit more at the end there of the first half where you would. Otherwise, you know, I thought we were putting together a really good half until we lost the first goal. But even like there's a couple of chances we've had and the crowd's been really good. So I think you know, onwards and upwards.
Not a bad start the first 10 minutes of the second half. Again, we're just desperate to get a goal back because every time these attack, there's like a genuine panic. And also, everyone's singing you're just a shit Colaccini to Chelsea's 13-year-old substitute. I don't know what his name is, but yeah, he doesn't really look like Colaccini. And it's pretty funny singing the song to him. His hair's not even like Colaccini's, but there you go. Dollar's just pulled an outrageous save off from Alonso there. We need to get a goal, I would say, in the next sort of 10 minutes, because if he didn't, then they're well on for a third. Alonso's just banged in a third. You could see, I mean, it's terrible to say, but you could see from a mile if he was going to score. It was such a good position that he was in, a strike, and obviously he's got a cracking left foot, and I think I even turned to Sean and said that this looks like he's going to straight in it. Did it. Unfortunately, because the first 20 minutes, I mean, it's been a pretty flat game. You think in one of those where we might get a chance, we might get a goal, and we might make it interesting. But obviously, at 3-0, you've got to be realistic and say, well, that's probably it. It's a shame, but now it's more a case of, obviously, with the Burnley match coming up on Wednesday, it's more a case of damage limitation now. Even pulling the goal back might lift the confidence a little bit, but we'll see. So we're in the in injury time now. I think the Newcastle fans are singing that defiant singing. The Chelsea fans, I mean, really, there aren't any words. There are no words in any language to describe how poor they are. But there you go, they've still won 3-0, so good luck to them. And I will we'll be back after this with a kind of post-match analysis of the match. So we've managed to get back to the Feathers pub after a horrific tube journey from Fulham Broadway, full of 15-year-old Chelsea fans singing songs about the size of their penises, basically.
They sang a negative song about Rafa.
They sang a horrible song about Rafa. I wanted to kill them all, but then I realised it would have been me and Charlotte versus a full carriage of 15-year-old Chelsea fans. So,
and it's not fair on them.
Yeah, we left it to one side. However, the performance, I mean, we could go through the first half. I've given a kind of running commentary throughout. First half up until the goal, I thought we were compact. I thought we played really well. And the goal was pretty much a bit of a mistake. And given the space out, I don't know what's shown. The first goal, it just seemed to open up all of a sudden. I don't know how you saw it.
Yeah, I mean, it happens very quickly when you lose the ball, and I think against a team as good as Chelsea, who weren't actually playing that well, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
You know, it can happen very quickly.
Yeah.
It's really
punished.
Annoying. Like, I totally agree. Like, I thought we totally dominated it the first half hour. I really, really thought that we'd at least get a draw, and then it just sort of rolled in almost. Now it's a bit like, all right, well that's almost that then, isn't it?
And even the second goal to me, it was a massive, I mean, a huge deflection, it seems like, because at the time I thought Dahl would pull off a really good save and it had gone over the top. Did you think it had gone over the top as well?
Yeah, I thought we got away with it.
I thought the Chelsea fans were cheering a corner, because I thought it had just gone over.
And then you see the replays on the big screen and you're just like, man. And obviously going in at half-time, 2-0 doing.
I don't know if you saw it, you could see Rafa leapt up and he's livid, and you can just tell that's the second goal kills it.
Well, I think that's one of the first times I've seen Rafa that angry visibly at the side of the pitch, and I don't know if that's.
Well, it's no surprise given the situation at the moment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like it's a manifestation of the frustration that he's feeling at the fact that we've just not signed anyone other than a loan player from Chelsea, and it's looking very likely, unfortunately, that Jorgensen won't even be in. I mean, given that Jorgensen played for Feyenoord today, how can you see a player playing for his team on a Sunday and then within 2 to 3 days signing for us and being in the team against Burnley? It's a difficult one, but that I'm sure that's a question for another time, and we'll move on to the second half. Now, I'll put this to you, Sean. In fact, I haven't introduced Sean. This is Sean, who's a long-time listener of the show, and he's joined me in the pub today, and we're very happy to have him on the podcast. Thanks for this, mate. So the second half, is that one of the first times you've seen a Rafa side and not really put it in? I mean, would you say it was an acceptable, in quotes, an acceptable performance? How did you interpret that?
It was disappointing. I mean, the second goal, you know, it's a different story of 1-0, or even Chelsea had a good chance right at the end to make it possibly 2-1, but I just don't think we're at it, and I kept looking to Rafa, and you could tell if we're not on it, he's out there and he's giving instructions. He's really tripping in. I think disappointing is the word.
But do you think that, given the fact that we've got Burnley on Wednesday, and given the size of that game, it is a huge game. There's no two ways about it. Do you think that at 2-0 down, the players are like, right, we've got no chance here. Even on a subconscious level, it's like we're not gonna get anything here. We may as well just switch off, because obviously Wednesday's the big game. Or do you think that it was just that almost makes it worse, in that we've got this huge game playing on Wednesday? You'd like to see the players a bit more up for it today in the second half.
I'd like to have seen it. I mean, I was quite disappointed with Gail. I know it's going to be hard. It's hard up there. It's hard up front. I need to see more from him.
Aye.
A little bit.
I agree. We'll come on. We'll come on to Gail a bit. So I mean, Charlotte, your take on the fact that we've got this Burnley game coming up, do you think there's any...
I mean, I think Burnley are a sort of a lesser side than Chelsea, so that's on our side. But having said that, like I said to Sean when we got into the pub, that we've seen this time and again, this like tiredness in the second half, and like lack of athleticism and dynamism, and it's again and again. So, thank you. It's just annoying and painful to see a team like that not disengaged with the whole thing.
With Burnley, well, when we didn't have our like sort of normal starting 11 today, so I would hope that that's going to play in our favour on Wednesday, but we'll have to see.
But even then, we'll talk about the kind of the normal. I mean, how normal going to start 11 be when we've got such a flimsy squad? Sean, I'll put this to you, mate. Do you think, given his recent form, do you think that Big Moore was a miss today? And would you like to have seen him start the match?
Yeah, he probably was a miss. I didn't think I'd have said that earlier on the season. I mean, he got a little bit of an unfair stick. I mean, I don't particularly like criticising players at the minute. I think everyone is given their role and it's not their fault if they're not up to the probably level we expect. But it still goes back to Burnley. As much as I'm disappointed about today, that's a massive game, and him being in there, he probably should start on Wednesday.
I agree with that. I mean, I think the army has to start on Wednesday because
that could be the only reason he wasn't on today, surely, that we've got a Wednesday match and he needs to be on.
It has to be because I mean, bringing Hayden back in. Now, I thought Hayden again. You look at the first 30 minutes and it wasn't a bad performance, but. It's interesting that we're in a position now where we're a much maligned player. Like Moore has actually in the past month become one of our most important players. And again, it's brilliant to see because he does have something to offer, and he has stepped his game up a lot, and he seems more determined. But at the same time, once again, it highlights the absolute paucity of a squad when you're thinking that we need Moore Diomi in that side. That's it's a championship side, and we'll go. But actually, the Dwight Gayle thing, you mentioned him before, Sean. So Alex has asked me to ask the question: where's Dwight Gayle, a lethal striker who ran amok last year, and how do we get him back? Now, my take on that is that Gayle is a lethal championship striker. He absolutely is. And I've said this before. He's in the no man's land between the Championship and the Premier League. A bit like, you know, a player like Matt Ritchie perhaps is. Too good for the Championship, but not quite out of the Premier League. And the other thing is, as well, is Gayle, he can only really go off the chances that he gets. He was poor today. Yeah. His all-round game was poor. But at the same time, he's a goal poacher. And if you're not getting chances...
We didn't create.
We were in the first, like, 20 minutes. We had a couple of chances there. And to be fair to Shelby as well today... I thought that he did an okay job at the beginning, definitely not in the second half. But, you know, creating chances and at least trying is much better than he has been in recent games. The chances aren't being created, you're right, generally.
They're not being created, and I think, again, it goes back to the question of was the second half performance unacceptable? I think that the desire, like, after the second goal, it was just kind of sucked out of them. Like you said, Sean, if Shelby's chance towards the end had gone in, I think we got a corner from it, didn't we? That might have made a big difference. But it was almost after that, we're fucking done. We're done. And again, it might be a case of, well, you know, this is Chelsea away. We're Newcastle. We're ostensibly a championship side. The Burnley match is massive. All these things playing in your subconscious. But you're looking at Rafa's reaction on the sidelines. They're not the reactions of a manager thinking, you know what, we've got a bigger game coming up. They're the reactions of a manager who was pissed off with what he saw on the pitch. And I think Rafa's annoyed with the application that he saw today. And I think after the match, there would have been a bit of an inquest as if to say, what happened? What happened out there? Because you gave up the ghost.
Because we can't do that on Wednesday.
No.
We've got to be on it. You know, we've got to be on it for the 90 minutes, not 30.
Yeah.
It's obviously a different game. And don't forget, Chelsea have spent hundreds of millions on a wonderful side. But they give the ball away today. They weren't great. I wasn't particularly impressed by them.
I agree, and I think there's I hate taking this away from the discussion on Newcastle, but in regards to Chelsea, I think one of the reasons I was so optimistic pre-match is because it's quite obvious that Conte is not going to be there in the end of the season. He's, you know, and those players probably know that themselves, and it's unlikely they'll win a trophy this season. I mean, maybe the FA Cup, especially after the League Cup game, is the best chance of silverware, and that's kind of reflected in the side he put out today compared to the side he put out against Norwich. And there's an argument, really, that Newcastle aren't actually that much better than Norwich, who are a mid-table championship side. We're still in that kind of position. We'll see how that goes with regards to Conte. In terms of Newcastle, again, now Saivier back in the side today. I was really impressed with West Ham. There was he did make a mistake for their first goal, but he kind of made up for it.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people who kind of subscribes to the Saivia legendary performance against West Ham. You know,
I was there.
He was kind of Conte. And do you remember Emerson, who played for Real Madrid and Juventus, combined basically? Clearly wasn't, but today, the second goal, I think, the blame's on Saivia for losing it in the middle of the park. Now, it's interesting, and I've mentioned this earlier on this podcast, that to me it looked like he was given the ball in a very, very small space with three Chelsea players around him and he just lost it. However, Alex messaged me saying he basically had three heavy touches there and that's led him losing it. I don't know. Now, tell me, I mean, the both of you, you go first, yeah, Sean. How did you interpret Saivia's performance? Is that the reason today why he's never really made it at Newcastle?
Probably it was so-so, I think. I mean, I thought a lot of it was, you know, we look for someone to kind of take that positive touch, go forward. I thought probably Shelby was the only one who was looking to go forward. We had a bit of sideways and backwards type of passing, and you need that if we're going to create chances. We need to just try and take a bit of a chance. So
absolutely, I don't know, Charlotte. I mean, my interpretation is that Saivia wasn't great. He obviously hasn't been great since he signed for the club.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't really put the blame on him today for being ineffective.
I wouldn't put the blame on him. I'm not that surprised he's not a regular player. I know he had a sort of like moment in the sun there. West Ham. You know, that was good, but I just don't think it's enough, is it? I don't think that he consistently plays that way, and I didn't think that he was sort of a standout performer today, so I'm not surprised he's not on the pitch.
No, he wasn't as bad or as good as anyone else.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Completely.
And in fairness to him, he didn't get much of a run. We haven't actually seen him since West Ham.
So I mean, I'm not going to blame him for how. I'm not going to say he was really poor today. The reality is the rest of the team was poor.
Yeah.
At the same time, if that's what Rafa sees in training week in, week out, then of course you can see why he doesn't play very often.
Yeah.
So what, we got 3 days of the transfer window left. It wouldn't be a huge shock if he went out on loan.
Yeah.
If he went out on loan to someone, that was his kind of almost his last hurrah on a Newcastle shirt, maybe. Anyway, I mean, get on to individual performances here. I'm trying to think if anyone actually played particularly well. I thought Darlow was impressive enough.
A few good takes.
But barring the first 30 minutes, I mean, there's an argument, I don't know about you two, but I thought Shelby was probably our best player on the pitch.
Yeah, I'd give him that because, like, in the first half hour, absolutely stand out. Like, he was trying, pressing, gave a good try towards the end of the first half when you tried to boot it in. Obviously, given the time and the pressure, yeah, don't blame him. But also, like, no one else was really doing that. So, he's probably my standout player. Second half less, but yeah, still.
Aye, agreed.
Yeah, he chased a couple of balls down and then turned around, no one was with him. And like, where are you? Come on, where are you? And I think at least we've got someone saying that. I mean, he's obviously tiny, but he hasn't covered himself in glory, but he's, you know, fair enough.
Aye, there wasn't any... I'll tell you what, I thought it all right. And there's an argument to say that he was at fault, I think, maybe with the second goal in terms of tracking back, but given again that he really plays and given again that he's been completely written off and that Rafa wanted to get rid of him in the summer, in fact, I think he had the opportunity to go out on loan somewhere, I genuinely thought Haidara was all right for a while. I mean, he put a crack and a ball in the box at one stage, and this ties back to Dwight Gill.
Yeah.
Gill didn't kind of move towards the ball at all. It was almost like he was in fear of the Chelsea centre-halves. So I think, regardless of how Haidara might have played, and even Saivia to a certain extent, you can almost extract them from the performance because it's so rare that the player to turn around and say that they were shit is a bit harsh.
I'm reluctant to be as kind as that. Like, they don't play that often, and that's true. But they're still training with this squad, and you know, they still know what this manager wants from them, and I thought they played well. I just don't think that we can just sort of say, like, oh well, you know, you don't get a run around that often, so.
No, I'm not saying they played well. I don't think they played well at all.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that the performances were poor. No, genuinely, the performances were, you know, they were substandard.
But maybe
at the same time, to almost see it right, Haidar and Saivio were shit. Yes, they were, fair enough. But to put it in the context,
yeah,
these are two players who really play. Now, the other 8 or 9 on the pitch who were shite, they're regularly involved in the squad. Even in Bemba, to a certain extent, really players. Yeah. Now, it's the players who play regularly. They're the ones who kind of gave up the ghost in the second half, and they're the ones that I'd be frustrated with. I've got no issue to a certain extent with Haidar and Saivio,
yeah,
and Mbemba, as I say. It's the other lads who are going to be involved against Burnley.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are the frustration. It's like,
what we're seeing,
put
like,
something
time
in.
And again, time and again, about the sort of 50-minute mark, it's just tired players not putting their all in. Like, and I don't know why.
Acceptance. Do you think they just accepted defeat after the second goal? They just accepted
the
defeat.
Absolutely not the way that they should. Their heads should not be in that position.
You don't want to say that about them. I mean, we've seen them a lot this season. They're absolutely brilliant, put it in, and the fact it's been a feature of a play throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
We've had players, you know, but ones who really want to put the graft in, and I'd almost want to forgive them today a little bit. It's a shame, because when Newcastle United, we shouldn't be saying, oh, 3-0 on to the next game, because
yeah,
it's bigger, but it's unfortunately where we are at the minute, which is criminal.
I'm grateful.
In itself.
What I'm grateful for is that that's not a Premier League game.
Oh, God, absolutely. Mm. It's one of those as well, like you think, right, so Norwich. Norwich played against like a second string Chelsea side. Not like necessarily a side that's under 23s, because they had some players with first team experience in there. But players who, even though it was Chelsea's second string, there's probably 3 or 4 of them would be in like our first, like sort of 17, 18.
One of them is now, Kennedy.
Oh, exactly. and like Chelsea, Norwich go to Chelsea and raise their game because they're like a championship side and there's nothing expected of them. Whereas we went there today and we almost, in every game that we play in the Premier League, we have to kind of raise our game to the same extent that a championship raises their game against a Premiership side.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. We're in the same division as them, but we're almost having to try and like have the mentality of a team that's taking a division below them, and we're not, and it's just so frustrating to watch. And like you say, Sean, like for the majority of games this season, the one thing that we have seen is the players giving everything. And I think it was just really disappointing today, around about the 60-minute mark, to see the heads gone like that. And even the Alonso free kick, I think I turned out to you, Charlotte, and
yeah,
I said, this is gone in.
Yeah.
It was almost like,
well,
it was even almost like the wall had given up. Weirdly, you know what I mean? It was just like, you know what, well, fucked you, so let's just see what happens. And then he went and tanked it in. This is the final question. I'll put it to both of you. So, Sean, you, the formation today, was that damage limitation? Was that going for a draw? Or was that looking for a win? How did you interpret that formation today?
I thought it was another chance to try that, I think.
Yeah.
Potentially with looking forward with Kennedy coming in, that might be something we see again, because it's another option. So I think he's used it as an opportunity to try it again. And he's mixed the players up a little bit.
Yeah.
Richie was quite central a lot.
Richie looked like he was in the number 10 role, didn't he?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So I just think it was another chance to try and get players in.
You make a good point there, actually, if you think it was almost like a kind of, what would you say, so 3 centre-halves, 2 wing-backs,
uh-huh,
almost like 3 central midfielders, Richie in the number 10 role, and then Gale up front. Aye. So it was kind of, what would you say, almost like a 3-2-3-1-1 formation. And with Kennedy, obviously, he has got a lot of pace, you know. I mean,
yeah,
he is a wing back by trade, and there's almost an argument to say that that's what Yedlin is. Yedlin's not, he's not a particularly brilliant defender, and he's not a right wing or right midfielder. He's a right wing back. So there is, I suppose, yeah, you're right there. This could be like almost like a template, like a kind of, let's just go out there and set this up, because we might do that in a couple of games towards the end of the season now that we've got Kennedy on board. I think we went there today thinking that, you know, with this formation, we could get a draw out of it. The problem was that they scored after 30 minutes and we didn't have...
Yeah.
It's almost like we didn't have, like, an option to come back and get an equaliser, you know? I don't know what your interpretation was,
yeah,
there, Charlotte.
Yeah, absolutely the same. I did not think that was a side put forward for a big win. I thought we'd get a draw. I did. I thought that was a formation done to get us a sort of strong forward, decent people on the back. Although, like, having said that, like, I didn't think that it looked like we had like 3 or 4 in the back.
The space was a lot of space, I know.
Yeah, it really did not look that way.
but I thought we'd get a draw. And yeah, I just think, you know, when you look at these things with cup matches, they're always going to be a bit different to sort of the Premier League matches, the first 11 and the formations. I think it is an opportunity to try something a bit different because it's not as... Of course, the stakes are still high, but it's not as high stakes. I didn't see it working that well today, but like you say, it'd be interesting when Kennedy starts to see if he slots into that way, like that kind of formation.
Absolutely. Well, we'll more than likely release a pre-Burnley podcast. But I suppose my to sum up my take on today is first 30 minutes full of optimism, and then the first goal went in, and like a little bit of the wind's taking out your sails, and then the second goal, even as a fan, and you know, as a fan, you're the one whose optimism goes last, and I think ours went pretty quickly today after the second goal. Actually, yeah. I'll put this question to the two of you. Sean, give me your interpretation on the support. Chelsea were pathetically quiet.
As always.
And the Newcastle fans, do you think that from the kickoff, right? So I'll tell you what, I'll throw my opinion out there and you two can tell me how you interpreted it. I thought... we'll see how it goes. I've said that at least 100 times this podcast now, because that's all you can do. And I've also said say what Pans would do 50 times as well. But you know, I'm not a professional host, so I apologise. But the atmosphere, I thought, got on the ground and it seemed like enough fans were singing, but there was a bit of an air resignation. That's how I felt, and I was singing, but at the same time I was singing my heart out.
Yeah.
But it was like almost like going through the motions to a certain extent, and then after the second goal, you get the usual things. We're 2-0, dude. Let's be defiant and sing. You know, Newcastle United will never be defeated. You know, there's loads of support for Rafa. Loads of support for Rafa, obviously.
Yeah,
but I think the general consensus amongst the fans was this isn't going to happen today. I don't know how you perceive it, Sean.
I thought first half an hour fantastic. It was loud around us. There was a lot of support. There was support for the team. It wasn't Andy Ashley songs. It was just songs about Newcastle United, which is what we should be doing. As you know, as difficult as it is, but
yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought the goal, but we're still pulled back. But 2-0 does knock the stuff out of you a little bit.
Good point with Ashley. Yeah. Actually, good point with Ashley. You said there wasn't any Andy Ashley stuff. And then after the second half, it was full on anti-Ashley, wasn't it, right?
Our club, yeah. I would agree, like, you know, even after the second goal, like, keeping the spirits high, like, a lot of banging on the sort of...
The hoardings, yeah.
And that was, yeah, it was nice, like, but I would sort of agree with you then on towards the sort of last half hour, 40 minutes. It did become like a bit going through the motions, certainly for the person in front of us.
Oh man! I tell you what, let me just add. And if you listen to this, mate, you know what? No disrespect, but you went to the football match with your last as a Chelsea fan, right? It was celebrating everything decent that Chelsea did. You were a row in front of her, right? You were dancing and singing, and she was recording you doing it because obviously you want to put it on social media and show your friends. And then you left after 78 minutes. Like, you're like everything that's wrong with supporting a football club. There's literally no point in you being there today, mate. So, you know, if you listen to this, please, either just accept the fact you're in a relationship with this lass and you just love each other and you're not that awesome with football, right? Or break up with her, get in the football matches, and be a fucking genuine football fan.
It's as binary as that.
Today was that binary. And were you being sarcastic there?
No.
There we go. It is binary, and that's how it is.
But, it did get towards. It got a lot to it. Like there was very little to sing for towards the end there. So it became a lot about making fun of Chelsea fans being quiet
But
is
then,
this a library sort of thing?
A game with 9 days' notice in London. We've been here 2 months
agreed.
Before. Top class. We've got that many people there and we've got them going.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely, mate. A very good point. Yeah, 9 days' notice in a match that switched to a 1:30 kickoff on a Sunday in one of the most expensive parts of the country.
You know.
Like, London's expensive for anyone in any ways, but West London particularly is one of the most expensive parts of the country.
Really
6 quid for my pre-match beer.
There you go.
Yeah.
I find it really heartening, like, and it's just on a social level, really, to get out of the club, and I would absolutely hate to be on a coach, but to see the sort of Tynedale coaches and Tyneside coaches, like, just ready to pick up all the fans that have, like, coach their way down, like, I just think that's brilliant, and I think that's just like such a testament to the sort of Newcastle fans.
I agree, yeah, absolute kudos. We yeah, exactly the same, walking out the ground, bearing in mind these people have come down from Newcastle on a coach, which is never the most pleasant way to travel.
This morning,
after a 3-0 defeat, and straight out after the match onto a coach, you've probably had a few pints, you've probably got, like, you know, your mouth's covered in that fur that you get when you've had a break from the booze, right? So you're either thinking, I need to eat and drink some water, but you'll probably get on the coach, have a few cans of lukewarm Fosters, right? And you're going back up there, and I tell you what, like, kudos to you, like,
yeah, nice,
that last 45 minutes didn't justify that kind of dedication today, and
totally
I'd like to think that the players will sit round and they'll say, you know what, lads, Wednesday we need to put our ideas up because we gave up, and you should never ever give up, because if you haven't got the talent to pull a result out of your arse, then what you've got to do is you've got to graft. And today, that wasn't in the second half, and we will need it against Burnley. So yeah, we'll leave it on that. Charlotte, Sean, thanks ever so much.
Thank you, Norman.
Yes. How are we on Wednesday? We'll be back with you for a Burnley preview, I'm sure of it. And we'll speak to you soon.